Good afternoon. You're listening to Eye on the Valley right here on CIVL 101.7 FM, broadcasting to the Fraser Valley, broadcasting from the University of the Fraser Valley's Abbotswood campus on the traditional and unceded territory of the Stolo people. I am your host, Surjit Atwal. I have a very special episode for you today. An interview with Member of Parliament for Abbotswood South, Ed Fast, former Minister of Trade, and we will be talking about the Ukraine-Russia crisis and how that affects the Fraser Valley and also other key issues. So I wanted to start off by asking you about things that have been going on in the news lately. And we all know what's been going on in the Ukraine. How do you think the government of Canada has been performing on this file so far?
Well, the government of Canada, of course, has to work in concert with our allies. Our most trusted allies, that would be our NATO partners for the most part. And many of the decisions that our Canadian federal government is making, many of those decisions are driven by a collective effort to try to help Ukraine without engaging the West, the free West, in a confrontation with one of the world's nuclear superpowers. So I know that Canada, along with the United States, the UK, the European Union, are walking a fine line in trying to provide enough support, military support, as well as humanitarian aid to Ukraine without triggering an even larger conflagration in that region of the world. So, you know, it's too early to judge Canada's response. I do know that we've been very active in imposing sanctions on Russia, on Mr. Putin, on his friends, the oligarchs, and also the direct connection, of course, that Abbotsford has to the Ukraine is that Abbotsford is home to the largest group of Mennonites in British Columbia, who, of course, have their roots in the Ukraine. There are still many seniors living here in Abbotsford that actually fled the Soviet Union, fled Ukraine for other parts of the world, primarily the United States, Germany, and of course, Canada, and settled here and made lives for themselves.
And I know that Canada has to work collectively with its NATO allies, but has the government of Canada missed something that you think they should have done that you think that they need to do?
Well, we feel that the government should have acted sooner to impose the sanctions that it did. We have also called for the government to expel Russia's ambassador to Canada and all of the envoys that we have across Canada, the Russian envoys, the different consulates, because they really serve no purpose anymore being here. And we feel that would be another step that the government should take, which it hasn't taken so far.
How do you think the Russian-Ukrainian crisis has affected us in the Fraser Valley?
Well, it certainly has affected many of our Ukrainian diaspora that live here in Abbotsford, who, of course, are emotionally very deeply connected to that region of the world. And I know that there is a lot of support already flowing into relief agencies here in Abbotsford, probably the primary relief agency that is starting to receive support for Ukraine, for refugees, getting food to Ukraine, providing logistical support on the ground in Ukraine, would be the Mennonite Central Committee, MCC, mm-hmm. which has a very direct connection to Ukraine and actually has people on the ground helping those that are being impacted by Russia's illegal and immoral invasion of that country.
The Fraser Valley is known as a pretty religious place, as you know. How do you think religious groups can come together to help the people of the Ukraine?
Well, that's already happening, actually. It's cutting across different denominations, across different religious groups, because I believe people of faith understand what's at stake here. Mr. Putin is a despot. He is effectively a dictator. He is ruthless, and he will squelch
He will suppress people of faith if they stand up to him, if they question his policies. He's doing that in Russia, and I suspect that if he actually is successful in completing his invasion of Ukraine, that he will suppress religious liberty there to preserve his authority. And that is something all people that understand how important human rights are, how important freedom is, will stand up and say, listen, this is enough. We cannot allow this to happen. So I believe there's still more that Canada can do in speaking out about human rights, about freedom, also standing up to Mr. Putin and saying, no, we will do whatever we can as a country to ensure that Ukraine remains free. And I'm very encouraged. I know the world is encouraged to see the courage of Ukrainians to stand up to Mr. Putin when he fully expected that they would simply roll over and play dead. Absolutely. As other countries have done. Ukraine is not going to roll over and play dead. And Mr. Putin is already suffering significant losses in Ukraine, losses that he did not expect to suffer. And I'm certainly rooting for Ukraine. I'm praying for Ukraine that justice and freedom will prevail.
And I think you've got a lot of people with you, sir, that are praying for Ukraine from around the world.
Agreed.
And, truck convoy and the protest and how the government reacted to it. Do you feel that the government's actions in calling for the Emergency Act were justified, or were they an overreaction?
I believe it was an overreaction, and there are court cases making their way through the courts right now, and they will eventually land at the Supreme Court of Canada. And I'm pretty confident that the Supreme Court will find that the government actually didn't meet the threshold, the legal threshold, for triggering the Emergencies Act. And Sergey, remember that in the lead up to the protest and in the 3 weeks in which the protest took place in Ottawa, the federal government took absolutely no action, no real substantive action to help police authorities address the problem that was evolving in downtown Ottawa. And I can speak from personal experience. My apartment is in the middle of the protest zone. It's actually at the corner of Lyon and Laurier. And every single day for 3 weeks, I walked to and from work through the middle of the protest zone. I saw the good, I saw the bad, I saw the ugly. And listen, not everybody deported themselves in a way that I would have liked to have seen. Some people were disrespectful, they were rude. But I can tell you, there were many people, all they wanted to do is express to the Prime Minister that they disagreed with his policies, primarily on vaccine mandates. And unfortunately, the convoy morphed into something that was bigger than, I believe, what the government even expected. And like most large protests, as they evolve, they also attract people that don't have the best interests of Canadians at heart, that are ne'er-do-wells and express themselves in a manner that doesn't reflect Canadian values. But at the end of the day, police authorities already had the powers available to remove the protesters, remove the trucks. Unfortunately, the Prime Minister stood back. In fact, for 1 week, he was missing. He didn't show up. He went into his cottage, not to be seen for that week. Then he finally came out, disparaged the truckers, said they were a fringe group. You know, that's what Justin Trudeau does typically, is if you disagree with him, he'll call you a misogynist, a racist. He'll say that you're un-Canadian. He'll question whether you actually even should have a role in Canadian society. And that is unbefitting of the leader of our country. I felt that he should have stepped up and shown true leadership and bring Canadians together. He could have reached out. He could have extended an olive branch to the protesters and said, listen, I want to hear out your concerns. That doesn't mean I'm going to simply roll over, but I'll hear you out. Instead, he said, nope, I'd want to hear from you. In fact, I'm going to treat you as if you're not even citizens, not worthy of my attention. And that's what the prime minister did. Then after 3 weeks, he basically used the sledgehammer that the federal government has to address what should be national emergencies. Was this a national emergency? This was basically a 3 to 5 block radius of Ottawa. It didn't go beyond that. We had protests that were established at the Ambassador Bridge. We had protests in Emerson, Manitoba. We had a protest at the Coutts border crossing in Alberta. We had protests in British Columbia. And all of those protests were dealt with and eventually resolved by using existing powers that the police have. Unfortunately, the Prime Minister chose to use a billy club instead of other tools that he had available to himself.
And sir, critics of your party, would like the NDP and Liberal, the government has been saying that there were people in your party that were going in outdoors and supporting the protest and supporting the white supremacists. What would your reaction to that be?
Well, firstly, to defend my colleagues, none of them went out deliberately to stand with people that were white supremacists, that were racists, that were bigots or anti-Semites. None of them did. What happened in a number of cases, they found themselves in situations where unexpectedly some of these very loathsome individuals appeared in the same camera shot as our MPs. That was very unfortunate. You will note that I certainly didn't find myself in that situation. Mm-hmm. What I did is I very clearly understood that the initial message that the truckers had, which was that vaccine mandates should not be imposed on truckers, somehow that message got lost. It was a legitimate message because truckers were saying, hey, for weeks, for months now, for 2.5 years, we've been heroes. You've called us heroes. We've delivered goods, groceries, foodstuffs all across the country. And you called us heroes. And suddenly the prime minister decides he's going to force us to be vaccinated in order for us to keep our trucking jobs. That is unfair. It's unreasonable, I believe. And that was the message that the truckers started off with. But, you know, like most protests, they act like a magnet. They draw other groups that are not as Canadian value-oriented. And obviously, the organizers allowed this to get out of hand. And there's no justification for that. But I can tell you that the Prime Minister really handled this very poorly, because true leadership would have been a prime minister who reached out, who said, hey, listen, I'm here to listen to you. You say you've got beefs. Let me hear you out. And I'm going to be a strong leader. I won't necessarily roll over, but I do want to hear genuinely what your complaint is. And I think as time goes by, the courts will have to grapple with the issue of whether the government actually imposed vaccine mandates in a manner that was inconsistent with the Charter of Rights, because the Charter of Rights requires governments to make accommodations, reasonable accommodations, before they abrogate those rights. And I don't believe those accommodations were made, because, you know, government had available to themselves things like rapid tests, PCR tests, to make sure that the public was safe at all times. And yet that accommodation was not even offered to the truckers. It was not even considered by the federal government. So it's not surprising that truckers were upset. And so I hope that explains to you why I believe that the Prime Minister overreacted.
And sir, I have a follow-up on that, if I may go to the vaccination part. The government has made the argument that every step that they've taken was followed by health advisors, and all actions were in concert to keep Canadians safe. What would your response be to that argument?
Well, let me ask you a rhetorical question, Surjit. Did the Prime Minister at any time give the public evidence and deliver the science showing that truckers represented a significant risk to public health? Did he provide any science or other evidence that showed that truckers were a significant source of transmission of the COVID virus? I'll answer that rhetorical question by saying aloud, no, he didn't. There was no evidence to show that imposing a vaccine mandate would in any way improve public health. And so the Prime Minister, who has always claimed that he was acting on science, in this case did not. In fact, he had an ideological predisposition in favor of vaccine mandates. Whether they were effective or not, he decided to employ them against the truckers that didn't want to be vaccinated. And that was the source of this whole protest. And it could have been resolved early on by saying, hey, listen, we're going to require you to take daily PCR tests or antigen tests just to make sure that you are not infected with the virus. And if you are, you can't drive. Once, you know, you're past the virus, you can drive again. These are the kinds of accommodations I would expect a true leader of our country to make. But Justin Trudeau didn't.
How do you think the government has done so far getting out of the COVID restrictions?
I believe Canada has performed reasonably well compared to some of our G7 partners. Where I take issue with the Prime Minister is his inability to understand the value of our Charter of Rights and the importance of accommodating Canadians to the greatest extent possible. Because we have Canadians across our country, you know, whether it's 10%, whether it's 20%, who have serious reservations about vaccines. They are vaccine hesitant. Again, a rhetorical question. Did the Prime Minister do anything significant to address the issue of vaccine hesitancy in Canada? And I would put to you that the answer is no. And I'm a triple vaccinated Canadian. I have no problem with the COVID vaccine, and I've encouraged Canadians to follow my example and the example of millions of other Canadians to get vaccinated. But when a Canadian comes to me and says, listen, I have reasons why I'm not convinced that putting a vaccine in my body is a good choice for me. I may have, you know, a predisposition to react against vaccines. I may have underlying illnesses that would prevent me from taking it. I may have religious reasons for not wanting to take vaccines. Whatever the cause, whatever the reason, it's up to government to do its very best to accommodate. Now, at some point in time, you still have to keep the public healthy. But when a prime minister says, listen, the only tool I'm going to use against the population or with the population is vaccines, and I'm not going to consider any other option, I believe that's a failure of leadership.
Thank you for listening to Eye on the Valley right here on CIVL. Join me again next week as I have another great guest for you.